Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Monday, the 8th of October, 2012. It is Columbus Day. Hope you had a great weekend. And for some folks, it is still the weekend. They're enjoying a three-day weekend. Home of the Buckmaster Show is AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. It's also the news talk station with some fantastic reach. We cover pretty much all of southern Arizona and parts of central Arizona on KVOI. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. You can hear our programs anytime, anywhere by visiting one of our websites where we post the program to. Buckmastershow.com, of course, our flagship home station, our website for the show. TucsonSentinel.com posts the program. TucsonCitizen.com also posting it. And we are very thankful that the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, their main website, gvnews.com, they now have the Buckmaster Show prominently displayed on their homepage with a link to our website. We're live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. We always get things going on our Monday afternoon with the Monday Political Face-Off, one of our signature segments on the Buckmaster Radio Show. Today, soon to be seated to my left, he's on his way over to the radio station right now, Paul Eckerstrom. And seated appropriately enough to my right, Mr. Bruce Ash. Then at 30 minutes past the hour, we're calling him our high noon debate showdown series continues with Democratic State Representative Steve Farley. He is a three-term state representative who is now running for state senate, and his opponent is Republican Tyler Mott. These two gentlemen are asking for your vote to send one of them to the state capitol as a senator from legislative district number 9. We encourage you to join in the conversation at any time by calling us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040, or you can submit a question using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page, which is Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. Every Monday on the Buckmaster Show, we kick things off with the Monday Political Face-Off featuring a team of commentators. This week it is Bruce Ash. Mr. Ash is the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and soon to join us, Paul Eckerstrom, Vice Chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. The Monday Political Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Bruce Ash, how are you?
I am dandy. Thank you very much for having me on the show every other Monday.
Well, it's good to see you. And we were talking as we're waiting here for Paul, and I'm sure Paul also had something to say about the game on Saturday. The Wildcats really, really were lighting up the scoreboard, moving down the field. Coach Rodriguez doing a great job, but I will disagree with him on that, the time management. 48, 49 seconds to go.
Wow, that was an incredible
game
moment.
Tied. How many two timeouts?
Yeah, two timeouts left, and he, I think his coaching staff just made a bad decision running those two off tackle plays. They had two timeouts. They could have moved the ball, you know, 30, 35 yards. Even if they had had some incomplete passes, they would have stopped the clock, thrown a couple of out patterns. But that's why they call it Monday morning quarterbacking.
That's why you and I are not making the big bucks as a football coach. And I know Paul is going to disagree with this. He believes that President Obama actually won the debate last week. And most folks, pundits, the polls indicate that it was not a good night for the president.
Yeah, I'm not even sure that Paul Krugman, who is probably the biggest lapdog for President Obama, would agree that President Obama won that debate. Look, Bill, this was the first time you'd seen the two candidates shoulder to shoulder, and it was pretty evident who looked presidential and who acted presidential and who took control. I've been in rooms with guys like Mitt Romney 100 times, and you know when they're a leader. And probably besides the fact when President Obama got a little bored with how badly the debate was going, he said, "Can we just move on during the debate?"
The split screen was just not kind to the president.
No,
I mean, he was looking down, and he looked like he was just really disengaged.
He was like a petulant teenager. Like,
I mean,
he didn't want to be there. But at the end, both of them had an opportunity to look right into the camera, right into 67 million people's homes and make their case. Mitt Romney did, and he failed to.
Well, let's hear what you have to say. 790-2040, 790-2040, the Buckmaster Show live line. Perhaps you thought the president did a great job and won the debate, but the Gallup poll, which is out today, indicates that not only did Mitt Romney get a bounce, he got a big bounce, 5 points, which puts him now, according to Gallup, even with the president.
Yeah, and there's been significant changes in a number of the different states where there are swing votes to be counted. We saw this in the GOP primary process. There were wide and very volatile switches in public opinion with respect to popularity of the different candidates. And we saw this coming out of the debate the other evening. Paul Ryan will debate Vice President Biden. I'm sure that Vice President will go after Mitt Romney. This will not be a debate really between Paul Ryan and Joe Biden. It's going to be a debate between Joe Biden and Mitt Romney, and he's going to expect Paul Ryan to defend. I think Paul Ryan will do the same. He'll go on the offensive, and it'll be a good debate. Look, in the last few days, we've even seen some pretty significant things happen in the world. Syria firing on Turkey twice. Turkey returning fire. $6 a gallon gasoline.
California.
Not just in the San Fernando Valley, Bill, but now all through California.
Yeah, I know.
My wife's in San Diego right now getting
horrible.
Ready for our son's wedding. And here we are, $5 a gallon gasoline in the San Diego area.
It's crazy.
We have problems with this Venezuelan election. I mean, you know, the president and the administration does nothing, has really nothing to say about Hugo Chavez being potentially reelected, maybe with a lot of electoral fraud there.
Let's take a couple of quick calls here. Richard, you are up first on the Buckmaster Show. Go ahead.
Thanks, guys. You know, Rizzo, I'm in pretty much total agreement with you on, you know, Obama definitely got worked over the other night. I found it very disturbing. It looks like he's been surrounded by yes men. And it was the first time anybody's actually challenged him, and he felt very affronted by it. But here's the problem for the Republicans, and here's the problem for an independent voter like me. The Republican platform has moved so far to the right, I can't throw the women of this country under the bus. This no abortion in cases of rape and incest, this is just too extreme.
Richard,
and this is what's going to lose the election for the Republicans, I think.
Richard, this election's not being litigated over women's reproductive rights. This election is about the economy. This election is about leadership. And I think we heard very clearly Governor Romney making a mad dash for the middle in this debate on Wednesday evening. And that's really what we're going to see from him between now and Election Day.
All right, let's go to Mike quickly. Mike, you're up next.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. I love this program.
Thank you very much for listening.
What I don't care for a whole lot is, in the last 20 years, these debates and the whole election process has not given you and I, the people, if you will, very much as far as what we've learned. And, you know, I think this whole format stinks. I think the debates don't produce anything of real substance of value. You know, the left is saying that Romney wasn't being honest. The right is saying that Obama wasn't over his head. But you and I, the people, if you will, have gotten very, very little value. You know, this whole election process should be engaging. It should be informative. It should be welcoming and embracing.
You want
instead of conflict and innuendo. And again, we don't get any true value out of this.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Paul Eckerstrom, welcome to the studio. What do you think? Is it time to change the debate format?
I'm not sure. The one-on-one debates, I think, actually does something more than those. When you're in the primaries, we have 10 people up there and they barely get to say anything. So they do get to say some things and they get a chance to get into things a little bit deeper. And frankly, if they're not willing to, that the voters should hold it against them. If somebody is maybe making something up, they need to be fact-checked with the press. That's their role. And the voters should hold them accountable. And if somebody doesn't look like they're giving you much information and just kind of obfuscating the question, then the voters should hold it against them. I think actually the debates are one of the few areas we actually get a glimpse at some real substance compared to these TV commercials that are on all the time.
As you were driving over, Bruce and I were talking about the fact we heard you on the John C. Scott show after the day after the debate. You actually thought Obama had a pretty good night.
Well, I didn't think it was as bad as everybody was saying. There was low expectations for Romney, high expectations for Obama. He frankly looked a little tired to me. But if you scored that debate, I'd score it for Romney, but I wouldn't score it by much because there wasn't any big gaffes on either side and there wasn't any memorable zinger on either side. And frankly, I didn't think it was much of a game changer.
Well, facts appear to be running against you, Paul. Let me go back to Bill's discussion point about the debate and the format. Jim Lehrer actually did, I thought, a pretty incredible job. We were as close to a sort of a unfettered debate format, a really face-off last Wednesday night as we've been in a long time.
I think so.
And unfortunately, the presidential debates is now, for the last couple of decades,
so structured,
has been run by the League of Women Voters, which is a Democrat front organization, and this Presidential Trust, which, Paul, please, I sort of know where I'm coming from because I actually do this on a regular basis at a national level, Paul, and it is a Democrat front organization. Frankly,
why? Because women run it? Is that why?
Oh, please, Paul, stop that. That's just about the stupidest thing I've ever heard you say, and stop that kind of stuff. That's disgraceful when you say things like that. This is a format coming up next week where it's a town hall.
Yes.
And it's on foreign policy and it's on the economy. And I think we're going to get a chance now to see some real-life citizens who will come forward, ask questions. And again, I think this could be a very good opportunity for both candidates.
I think the next one, though, is social issues.
It's foreign policy
And the economy.
And the economy.
And, I think that this one affords Obama an opportunity, which I think he missed his opportunities in this last debate. If there was a real criticism, it's that in terms of touting what happened in terms of saving GM and Chrysler, where Romney wanted to let them go, and we would have lost 2 million jobs because of it if Obama hadn't interceded. And also on the whole 47% comments of Romney, I was surprised those two things didn't come up in the last debate. I think they'll come up in this
one. All right. When we come back, I'd like to talk about the giving up on the auto industry.
All right. We will be back on the Buckmaster Show. It's the Monday Political Face-Off. Stick around. We've got more to come.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media, or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off. By the way, we've got another one of the Buckmaster Show debates coming up at 12:30. We've got LD9, Farley versus Mott. They are waiting in the wings to go at it in our high noon debate series. Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom with us on the Monday Political Face-Off, brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Bruce, you wanted to pick up on General Motors?
I do. And you know, I think everybody's getting a little tired of the president touting the fact that he saved 2 million jobs at General Motors and Chrysler. They're about as sick of hearing of that as they are how he killed bin Laden and has ended Al-Qaeda. But let me just point out— let me just point out for Paul's edification, right now American Airlines, probably one of the largest airlines in the world, is under bankruptcy protection. Okay, you don't see the government stepping in and taking sides and picking winners and losers. And at the end of the day, American Airlines will come out a stronger, better, more efficient airline. They're already doing lots of things in that regard. What we've seen with General Motors is it's still the same bad kind of technology, still the bad management, and all of the people who are bondholders and investors, they got wiped out. Millions and millions of taxpayers, pensioners, and so on lost their savings in it, as well as people who are working there and lost their pensions at GM as well. Now owned 20% by the unions.
But they are making some really good cars there.
Yeah.
I mean, that Volt's a hell of a car.
Every analyst and expert at the time, because of the height of the recession, said that Chrysler and GM were going to be gone if they weren't helped by the government.
They're not going to be gone, Paul. And they still continue
to
work
Bruce?
And make
you
cars.
You talk, my turn. Yeah. you know, the plain fact of the matter is Obama was roundly criticized for that move, mm-hmm. but it turned out to be one of the best things he could have done for our economy in the time of recession that could have slipped into depression. He saved 2 million jobs, and it wasn't just GM and Chrysler. It was all the dealerships that go with them and all the suppliers. One of the problems is we were going to lose all the suppliers that made different parts for those cars.
You keep saying
Ford
Paul,
would have been in
untrue.
Trouble.
Hold on.
Ford would have been
Paul finish his point.
Ford would have been in trouble because they wouldn't have had parts companies to draw from, and we would have lost a major segment of our manufacturing base, and that would have been bad for national security as well. What Barack Obama did at a time where he was roundly criticized, he took political courage to make a tough call, and he made it. And now GM is number one in the world again in terms of car sales. I don't understand why Bruce thinks that's a bad thing.
Paul, you've misstated facts. GM would not have gone out of business. They would have declared bankruptcy. They would have continued to make cars. And we find the same thing in the banks. The president and Republicans overreacted. They passed Dodd-Frank. Dodd-Frank has been one of the worst things that could happen to the banking business. The too big to fail, picking winners and losers. That's not free markets, Paul.
You know who started the whole GM bailout? It frankly was George W.
It was,
Bush.
And it's wrong.
And Dick Cheney actually said, we can't let this happen. Because he understood the national security implications of losing a large segment of our manufacturing base. You know what? They weren't wrong. It was a Republican and a Democratic president that
saved GM. Just like Obamacare was a Republican.
And I don't understand why you're criticizing that. Because
it was a bad idea. Just like Dodd-Frank.
It was one of the big success stories in our economic recovery. And I give partial credit, certainly, to George Bush because he was the first one to make the move.
Well, the economic recovery is going pretty well. We've got 47 million people under with food stamps.
We are now under
23 million people that are unemployed that were working before this thing started. It hasn't been going the right way, and the president
it is going the right way. Bruce, did you see Friday
with trillion dollar deficits, Paul?
Did you see the unemployment numbers drop below 8%?
Yes,
7.8%. We're going in the right direction.
And primarily,
why change horses in midstream when we're going in the right direction?
And primarily the reason it went from 8.2 to 8.1 and now to 7.8 is because so many people have completely dropped out of the job market.
That's not true because the stats on Friday came in said more people are entering the workforce and therefore your premise is wrong.
Paul, okay. did you saw the Gallup poll which is out today, mm-hmm. Romney getting a 5-point jump. It's now tied. That's a pretty big bounce.
Well, I don't know how long that's actually going to last, and that's a national poll.
Right.
I would like to see the polls in the swing states where the battle is really being joined by the campaigns, where the information of all the TV ads and all the walking and knocking on doors is happening. And I think, especially in places like Ohio and Wisconsin and swing states in Michigan, where he did save the car companies. And a major part of their economies are the car companies in those states. I don't think the dynamics are going to change.
And you think that will pay dividends for Obama?
Absolutely. I think that's why Romney's having a horrible time breaking through in his native state of Michigan and in Wisconsin, where Paul Ryan is from, his VP candidate, and Ohio, which is very heavily dependent on manufacturing and for car companies. And that's if Romney can't win Ohio, there's a very slim path for him to get to the Electoral College win.
That's Paul's story. It is Republican governors in Michigan, in Ohio, in Wisconsin, in New Jersey, in Florida, who are making a tremendous difference in the economy. It is not the president of the United States. He continues to play winners and losers, and he continues to be 4-for-4 on trillion-dollar-plus deficits. He continues to go in the wrong direction with respect to this economic cliff that we are all headed toward because he refuses to deal with the problems that are at hand, and he was more interested in passing a radical health care program rather than dealing with the economy.
You know what? He saved us from a Great Depression. We're heading in the right direction. We're now under 8% unemployment and heading downward. And I think the voting public is going to recognize that, and they're going to put him back into office.
What we've got over the past 4 years, Paul, is trickle-down government. That's the big takeaway from last Wednesday's debate.
Bruce Ash and Paul Ackerstrom, thank you both very much for being with us. Have a great afternoon.
Great
pleasure.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gowrie and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gowrie and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgowrie.com. Coming up, our High Noon debate series on the Buckmaster Show. Steve Farley is in the house, as is Tyler Mott, ready to go at it here in a few seconds after we take a break. We'll be right back. SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Turkey's president is calling Syria's civil war a worst-case scenario and says the international community must take action to end the bloodshed. President Obama's campaign responding to Mitt Romney's criticism on foreign policy. The Republican presidential candidate accuses the president of being too passive. The Obama campaign calls Romney reckless on foreign policy. The Centers for Disease Control says there are now 8 deaths related to that outbreak of fungal meningitis. More than 100 people have been sickened in that outbreak. On Wall Street, heading into the final half hour of today's trading, the Dow is down about 19 points, the NASDAQ off 19 as well, and the S&P is trading 4 points in the red. This is SRN News.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowell and Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 6 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, La Cañada from Ina to River, and Phase 2 of Saharita Road. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
.12:34 now on the Buckmaster Show, and this afternoon we continue with our debate showdown series, spotlighting the two gentlemen battling for a state Senate seat in District 9, which runs from Interstate 10 on the north side of town east through the foothills and the Casas Adobes neighborhood into Midtown Tucson and out to Sabino Canyon. District 9 Senate seat became open when Senator Paula Aboud was termed out. With me in studio, three-term state Representative Steve Farley, a Democrat, and Tyler Mott is here, chair of the Pima County Young Republicans. Tyler and Steve, good to see both of you.
Great to be here, Bill.
Nice to see you, Bill.
Well, we appreciate you both taking part in our debate series. We're going to try to keep your responses to a minute, minute and a half, so we can cover as much ground as possible. And we will start kind of with an opening statement. Why, Steve Farley? We'll start alphabetically. Mr. Farley, why, Representative Farley, you think that the voters should send you to the state capitol as a state senator?
Well, my number one issue right now is restoring our education system to turn it into a great system, which we absolutely need to do. I've got two teenage daughters, so education is personal to me. But the way that this legislature has cut our schools by more than $2 billion in the last 3 years is completely shameful. And we need to give our kids the tools they need to compete in this world economy. Otherwise, we're in serious trouble as a state and as an economy. That's the foundational reason we've really got to make that happen. So that's number one. Number two, we've really got to stop these sort of partisan bickering, the type of political attacks we've seen. I've just put a TV ad up that's all positive because I think people are tired of seeing those dark tones and fuzzy, blurry stuff of people. And I think they're tired of people calling each other names and attacking each other. There's some real differences in policy between folks who are running, and I think that with these new districts, it's much more competitive. There's an opportunity for people to be able to choose who they think best represents them. And I really embrace that. I think District 9 is a great place with all sorts of thoughtful people who actually don't just choose the letter after their name. They chose who they think is going to be best representing them at the Capitol.
Steve Farley, that was the Democrat running, and now the Republican, Tyler Mott. Why are you running, and why do you want to be state senator?
Like you said, my name is Tyler Mott. I'm running for the Arizona State Senate in this new district. First, I want to give a shout out to my wife, who's listening on the radio right now, and I want to thank you, Bill and KVOI, for inviting us and hosting this debate today. And I also want to thank you, Steve, for participating as well. I grew up here in Southern Arizona. I've lived here for most of my life for the last 28 years. I went through schooling in the Marana Unified School District, the public schools, and I also went on and I went to earn a degree in political science at the U of A. I spent the last 4 years serving in the Army Reserve, where I've worked in transportation logistics, and I serve as a sergeant right now. I've also spent the last seven years working in the financial sector. My wife and I are active members of our church, where I recently served in most recently worked as helping lead the Sunday school. I've also, as you said, I'm also the chairman of the Pima County Young Republican Club. We have our next meeting actually tonight, Our Place Bar and Grill, 6:30 p.m. with Colonel Martha McSally talking about her campaign. I share the priorities of the voters of this district. I support lower taxes, more jobs, education spending to its proper levels, and making sure that Southern Arizona has a loud voice in the state legislature.
Tyler Mott, you'll get this first question about Proposition 204 about education and education spending. By the way, that will be our next political debate here on the Buckmaster Show coming up on Wednesday. We will have a debate. Doug Ducey, who is the state treasurer, is the spokesman against, and Eve Peterson, who is the spokesperson for. That will be the debate coming up Wednesday. For or against, Tyler Mott, Prop 204?
I strongly oppose 204. First of all, I do not like the idea of regressive taxes. Sales taxes are regressive taxes. They hit the poor first. The poorest voters have been the ones that have been hit the most throughout this time of recession. And they can't afford to have this extra tax. Other voters who might have a little more money, might be more affluent, they can go buy things online, elsewhere out of state through ways that might make it so that they don't have to pay that extra sales tax. But the poor need that money just to survive, and it is going to be very detrimental to them. So that's the number one thing. Secondly, my wife's a teacher, and so education is very important to us, and she is opposed to this bill because she knows that it's not going to go where they say it's going to go. The accountability won't be there, and it will just give this legislature more reason to not spend money that they would have gone toward education. And so I don't like the idea at all.
Steve Farley, Proposition 204.
Well, I'm not sure how you fund education and replace the $2 billion in cuts without approving Prop 204. So I'd be interested to see Mr. Mott's ideas on how you fund education. This does not an additional 1 cent sales tax. It replaces the one that's currently there. The existing 1 cent sales tax was placed in there by Governor Brewer. And what she didn't tell us at the time that we voted overwhelmingly in favor of it was that there were no restrictions at all that it have to be used at all for education. So the money has been taken, in my view, stolen. About $500 million a year goes to large corporate out-of-state tax cuts instead of to our classrooms. It's going to build private prisons instead of new schools. And that's part of why that Annie Peterson, who is a mom, said that she had to work to get a citizens' initiative on the ballot to guarantee the money goes to schools, and it does go to schools. So I'm strongly in favor of this one. Basically, the sales taxes, I don't like sales taxes either, but I'll tell you what hurts poor people more is having their kid in a classroom of 46 when they're in middle school or 32 when they're in kindergarten.
Steve Farley with his response to 204, so there's a clear difference there between Mr. Mott and Farley on 204. Steve Farley, you get this next question. This one is kind of, is there something here, Steve, that you would like to set the record straight, or you can ask your opponent a question during this period right here? Anything you want to set the record straight during the campaign that's been said about you that's not true?
Well, I've been called Streetcar Steve, and that actually is true, and I appreciate that one, actually, because I'm very proud of the fact that I was one of the founders of the Regional Transportation Authority, which is now creating thousands of jobs throughout the region, including the reconstruction of La Cañada and La Cholla, which is helping a great deal of folks on the northwest side, and projects all over the region where we've actually collaborated with folks who didn't used to agree with each other. I've been working with Jim Click, not known as a big Democrat. I've been working with all sorts of other folks around the region in order to improve our transportation system. The streetcar is about 3% of that overall plan. It costs $75 million in local match from that funding source. And we've already leveraged that into more than $500 million in private development within three blocks of the route. And we're still a year away from paid ridership. Those are hundreds and hundreds of jobs right now that people otherwise would not have. In fact, I was going walking door to door in the vicinity of Ina and Thornydale the other day, and a guy said to me, "Aren't you the guy who did the streetcar?" when I came to his door. And I started explaining what the benefits of the streetcar were, and he says, "Wait, I just wanted to thank you, because without the streetcar, I wouldn't have a job."
Okay, Steve Farley. And Tyler Mott, anything you would like to, you can either ask Steve a question or you can set the record straight about anything that's been said about you that you want to clear up.
Well, I just think that Steve's assessment of the streetcar is inaccurate. It has been a $200 million waste of money. It's going to be in an area that's not even in our district at all. And if 3% is the number he wants to use, well, look, $200 million is a lot of money. It could have gone a long way toward road construction and repair. And no matter what, it's still a $200 million waste of money. The money that I do support the RTA, the concept of an RTA, to have a regional goals and regional solutions for this. But that doesn't mean that every part of the RTA plan was correct. And this was definitely the part that was the least correct. And this is something that he pushed for a number of years. We didn't need this. The $500 million of job growth is just inaccurate. That's nothing to do necessarily with the streetcar. That's construction that would have been going on either way. We hope that the streetcar succeeds because we're stuck in it now, but we don't want it to get expanded for this kind of a cost where it's going to hurt motorists. And then the other thing on that is that we have a lot of businesses in our district that are now going to be – that are going to lose their livelihoods possibly because now we've chosen winners and losers, which is what the streetcar does. It helps choose a winner of downtown where we have businesses, restaurants that are in our district that might now suffer because those because we're choosing the district instead.
Let me give Steve Farley a quick rebuttal there, Rose, before we take the break, and we'll just – go ahead, Steve.
And if you look at all the businesses that have moved down there specifically because the streetcar is coming, they know they're creating jobs right now. And bottom line is we need job creation. This is proven job creation. I've created thousands of jobs in the region.
And I just – like I said, I disagree, and there's been a lot of businesses that have been very hurt during the construction phase. They've had to lay off people or lower the amount of jobs.
Disagreement there on that issue as well. Coming up now on 1245, Steve Farley and Tyler Mott, candidates for state senate in LD9. We continue right after we hear from the people that sponsor the Buckmaster Show. Without them, there would be no program. Please support them.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Now in its seventh year, the RTA has finished over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Current projects include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. With ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service, providing jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer, the RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Have you been inside Splendido, Oro Valley's all-inclusive community for adults 55 and better? Now is your chance. Their annual Showcase of Homes event is coming up Tuesday, October 30th, starting at 9 a.m. Please RSVP. Say you heard about it right here on the Buckmaster Show by calling 762-4090, 762-4090, or visit SplendidoTucson.com. We are in the midst of one of our Buckmaster Show debates, and this time we are focusing on State Senate, two gentlemen facing off to try to become the next senator from LD number 9, Steve Farley, the Democrat, and Tyler Mott, the Republican, with us. And we're going to keep your answers, gentlemen, to about a minute so we can cover as much ground here as possible. Tyler, about the border, should we be building a border fence?
I think the federal government needs to work on that, but that's not a state function. I think it's kind of a silly thing to do. I think it's a gesture that we've made because we are so upset at the failed policies of the federal government to secure the border. It is a very, very dangerous area, the drug smuggling and things like that. But we also have to look at the effects of the border situation on the south of the border, because we have to help the Mexican people in some way. They've been serious victims throughout this major drug cartel war. I've heard anywhere from 46 to 60,000 deaths in this war in the last 2-3 years, and it's an atrocity of massive proportions. And we have to do something to help our friends south of the border. But I did support SB 1070, and my opponent did not. I think that was just something that we could have done to make it a little bit better.
Steve Farley, where do you disagree with Tyler Mott on border policy?
Well, I've actually been down to the border and talked with the ranchers of what they have to deal with every day when they go into their fields and deal with their cattle. They've told me about smugglers on top of hilltops with AK-47s protecting the smuggling routes. We have to crack down on the smugglers, gun smugglers, human smugglers, drug smugglers at the border. We've got to help our law enforcement do that. This legislature last time, they stole $5 million from Pima County Sheriff's Office and gave it to Pinellas County Sheriff's Office simply because they liked him better than they liked our sheriff. That's disgraceful. Pima County has the largest, longest border with Mexico of any county in the country, and we've got to put our focus down there. A fence is another gimmick, just like 1070 was. Neither the fence nor 1070 did anything to secure our border. You build a 12-foot fence, they'll build a 13-foot ladder and get over it. 1070 did nothing but put up a big sign on the border saying to legal Mexican visitors that we don't want your money. The fact is 35% of our Tucson retail comes from legal Mexican visitors, and we need to do something to encourage that while at the same time cracking down on our border security.
Steve Farley, next question. What have you heard here that does this – this debate and other sessions you've had with your opponent, is there a clear difference between the two of you?
I think there is a big difference. I mean, there is a number of social issues. Mr. Mott has said very clearly he's very social conservative. He does not believe that people should have the right to marry whoever they want to and have that equality with other folks. He's talked about how he is pro-life, I am pro-choice. There's a lot of those issues that are coming on there. And I've been disappointed by how he's been making stuff up about me publicly, writing it, saying it. For instance, he said that I've never voted yes on a Republican bill. That's in the Clean Election Statement, in fact. When I did the research, that seemed kind of funny to me. I actually turned out that I voted yes on 82% of Republican bills that hit the floor. It's the other 18 that I voted no on because they were bad for Arizona, not because they were bad for any particular party. I'm much more interested in serving everybody in my district, even those who did not vote for me.
Tyler Mott? response?
Well, I think it's interesting. When we had our clean election debate, Steve mentioned how he how the Republican legislature was such a bunch of extremists, and then he comes back and says, I voted with them 82% of the time. You can't have it both ways. They're either extremists or you're an extremist 82% of the time yourself, and I don't agree with that. I think that they've done some very sensible things. When it comes to social issues, I mean, that's not the focus of my campaign, but I do support that marriage is between a man and a woman. And Steve has bragged online about stall taxes that he used in the state legislature before to try to make it so voters weren't allowed to decide that. And so I think that's an extreme position. I think Steve has many extreme positions when it comes to things like that. But some of the things that he said are just inaccurate. We still have $9,000 of funding per student in the state of Arizona. I'm not sure what that number needs to be, but we can increase it. But the $2 billion thing that he said is just totally inaccurate. We haven't cut spending by $2 billion.
Let's continue with this discussion.
You've said publicly that you would like to increase funding for our schools, but now you're saying that $9,000 is enough?
That's not what I said
at all. That includes federal funding, not just state funding. The state funding is more like $3,200 at this point per student, which is woefully low, and we're last in the country on spending for students. And I've never said that spending is the be-all and end-all for improving our schools. But you cannot cut and reform your schools at the same time. Even in Florida, where Jeb Bush did some pretty good reforms, it costs more money to institute them. You can't arbitrarily cut, and you can't – assuming our schools are going to improve.
Tyler, you get the last word here before we go into our closes.
No, I didn't say that, Steve. I don't think that $9,000 is the proper amount. I'm just saying that's how much it is per student. So we do spend a lot of money on education. It is by far the number one thing that we spend money on at the state legislature. We need to increase that funding, but how do we do that? We need to get our economy roaring back. We need to get jobs back into this area, because once the jobs are back into this area, then we'll be able to pay more money for education, for transportation, for a lot of these needs that we need. But the state legislature had to do something. And as you said, you voted with them 82% of the time, so they must have been right most of the time. And so I think that the Republicans did a very good job by and large, in doing what was right. And they never put state funding for students below $9,000 per pupil. And that's a fact. And they did not cut $2 billion from the state budget for education either. That's just totally a number out of midair.
We have to go to our closing statements right now. Steve Farley had the opening statement first, so now Tyler Mott, you'll get the opening statement first, or the closing statement first. 1 minute, please.
Well, Bill, thank you once again for inviting me. Thank you, Steve, for this lively debate. We we enjoy it. I always invite you also to come and join us with our Pima County Young Republican Club. We've got our meeting tonight. You can come and speak there also. I'll take that invitation right now if you wanted to speak with our members tonight. We are going over all the budget, all of the ballot initiatives, so it might be a little drier than most meetings, but that is very important stuff. I support making sure that we have good jobs in this area, proper funding for education, lower taxes, and have a strong voice for Southern Arizona. I will be that strong voice. I think that we need to make sure that people are first and not politics, that we represent the people first. And I think that I share the principles and I share the priorities that the voters of this district share. This is a very moderate district, and Mr. Farley has not been a moderate politician.
Your website is Tyler Mott?
TylerMott.com, TylerMott.com. Thank
you. Steve Farley now.
Well, I appreciate your invitation, but I actually won't be going to a meeting of my Democrats tonight. I will be talking to independent voters in the district on the phone to talk with them about issues, and I think that's really important right now for us to talk to everybody. Education is so crucial in so many different areas, and you cannot create jobs in the state without a strong underpinning of education. A couple of years ago, I went down to Fort Huachuca and talked to the base commander down there, who said that there were about 160 vacant positions, high-level PhD positions in intelligence for the U.S. Army, that were going unfilled because they could not convince those people to bring their families to Arizona, to the Arizona public schools. That means that our lack of support for our school system is not only endangering our economy, and our kids' future. It's endangering our national security. We need to focus on education. We've got to get those cuts refunded, and we've got to improve our schools.
Your
absolutely
website.
Crucial. My website is friendsofarley.com.
Okay. Steve Farley, Tyler Mott, congratulations to both of you on the campaign, and good luck to both of you. Thanks for being with us.
Right. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Only 3.5 hours east of Tucson to historic Silver City. What a great time of year over. I love it over in New Mexico, especially in October. Everything is all green after the summer rains. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for more information and great accommodations over there like Bear Mountain Lodge and Casitas de Gila guest houses. Culligan Water provides the bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, offering great drinking water. What is it about Culligan Water, folks? It simply tastes better. John C. Scott this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Tomorrow, Wake Up Tucson. The guests with Chris and Joe, Rod Pace, CEO of Rosemont Copper, and Mia Hansen from Tucson Meet Yourself. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.